Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast, and I have a question for you. Did your team screw up the NFL draft? Every year, teams mess it up and teams get it right. And ultimately, you never really know until these players have had a few years to perform in the NFL. However, with that being said, I spent a good deal of time. To be honest, I spent a massive deal of time evaluating prospects that are coming into this year's draft. Over 100 different players that I watched probably at least an hour of game tape on over the course of the last 6 to 12 months. So, look, I'm convicted on how I feel on a lot of different players. I've spent a lot of time doing it. It's something that I'm passionate about and something that I've been doing, predicting very accurately for a number of years. So, for today's episode, I'm going to go division by division. I'm going to start off with the AFC first on today's episode. The next episode, I'm going to go over the NFC, and I'm going to tell you, did your team screw up the NFL draft, or did they get it right? And for each division, I'm going to tell you which team in that division won the draft. Okay, so we're going to start off by looking at the AFC East. Who won this division? Who screwed up the draft? Who did a good job? Let's go team by team. Starting off with the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills drafted Josh Allen, 7th overall. They traded up to get him. They had a second pick in the first round, which I thought was a great value pick, was linebacker Tremaine Edmonds. And I actually like their 96th overall pick, Stanford defensive tackle Harrison Phillips. The media scouts have said there's comparisons between Harrison Phillips and Kyle Williams, and I'll be honest, I actually see it. Not just in build, but just in overall playing style as well. I honestly see a huge comparison there, but I'm going to say that the Bills did screw up the draft. Here's why. Look, I get you wanted to draft a quarterback at that point, but I don't believe you draft a quarterback in the top 10 picks that's going to be a project. Josh Allen was the guy they drafted there. They could have drafted Josh Rosen, and let me just say this. Josh Rosen doesn't have accuracy issues. Josh Rosen has much better mechanics, and Josh Rosen's arm is strong enough. And not only that, I think Josh Rosen is mentally, at least from things that I can see, and I get it. You know, I probably have a limited sample size to look at, but just my gut instinct tells me that Rosen has a better mindset for the NFL. Just a gut instinct. So I'm going to say the Bills did screw it up because you traded up to get a quarterback that is definitely not going to be ready by year one, and has issues that I think are going to be hard to fix. Accuracy can be fixed in some cases, but the problem with Allen is that it's not like his mechanics are just that bad and that's causing the accuracy issues. I just don't think he has it. Doesn't really have anticipation or doesn't know how to throw with a lot of touch and put varying speeds on the ball. He has a great arm, a ridiculous upside, but you could have gotten Josh Rosen there. And to me, although I'm not going to say Josh Rosen's going to be, you know, a top tier NFL quarterback, but Josh Rosen is definitely a can't miss pick to be a more than serviceable quarterback for your team, where Josh Allen could easily end up being Jamarcus Russell. So I'm going to say the Bills, you kind of screwed this one up a little bit, but I do like what you did. I do like what you did in getting Tremaine Edmonds. That was a great pick in the middle of the round. I like Harrison Phillips, but I'm saying you screwed it up because you got a quarterback at 7th overall that is not ready when you could have had one that has proven that he is NFL ready in Josh Rosen. So continuing to look at the AFC East, the Miami Dolphins. I will say the Miami Dolphins, I would say they got it right. Here's why I'll say that. So the 11th overall pick, they selected Minkah Fitzpatrick, arguably the most versatile defensive player in the draft. I actually had Derwin James ranked a little bit ahead of him, but not by much. They're similar players to a degree. I would have been fine if they went either Fitzpatrick or James. Me, I'm more of a Derwin James guy, but when I look at Fitzpatrick and, you know, his overall rank on my board, I think he's my fifth overall prospect, and he was, you know, taken 11th overall. So I like that Miami did that. I also like that they're sticking with Ryan Tannehill, because when Tannehill's healthy, he can still be a good quarterback. So, I mean, maybe he's had some bad luck and, you know, he'll be okay. I don't think Miami should be trying to get a quarterback just yet. Now, the second round, they took tight end Mike Gesicki from Penn State. They took him 42nd overall. Dallas Goedert was still there, the tight end from South Dakota State. If it was me, I would have taken Dallas, just because I think Dallas is better at making catches in traffic, and he's a better blocker. Gesicki is definitely going to be the better downfield threat. It all depends on what you want. Me, I would have gone Dallas Goedert, but also I do think the Mike Gesicki pick has good value. Look, I think Gesicki could end up being, you know, Jimmy Graham, to be honest, in terms of talent and the way he plays. And you know, and I actually have made that comparison. I've looked at Jimmy Graham play, and I've looked at him, and I'm telling you, there's a good deal of similarities there. So I like the pick. I don't love it, but I'm going to say the Dolphins did a good job there. Moving on to the New York Jets. The New York Jets screwed up this draft before it got started. They mortgaged their future to take one player when they have holes all over the rest of their team. And I have said from the beginning, that is a bad move. Now, I believe that Sam Darnold, the quarterback that the Jets drafted third overall, has the best upside of any quarterback in this draft. If Sam Darnold reaches his potential and can correct some mechanical things and turning over the football, he could be what I compare, what I see him as, is a combination of Tony Romo and Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck with just that big, strong body and big, strong arm capability, and then Tony Romo with that escapability. To me, he plays very much like a mixture of the two. But look, you got a quarterback, and you basically got no other players in this draft that I'm confident are going to be good pros. You mortgaged your future, you're thin on paper, and you did very little in the draft to fix that. I get it, you got a quarterback, but Sam Darnold is not going to be a good quarterback unless you put pieces around him, and you failed to do that. And right now, the Jets, to me, are not going anywhere for a few years. So, yeah, the Jets, I like Sam Darnold, but I think you screwed up the draft. Now, the fourth team in that division is the New England Patriots. And I'm just going to come out here and say this. I believe the Patriots did a great job here. Now, when you look at the way the Patriots are built and what makes them successful, is they draft guys that they are going to know how to extract the most out of that player. Look at their first round pick, Isaiah Wynn, the guard/tackle from Georgia. I love Isaiah Wynn going to them 23rd overall. When I look at Isaiah Wynn from a pure offensive line skill set, I believe he's better than Will Hernandez when you look at overall skill set. The difference is that Will Hernandez is only going to be a guard, and that's all he's going to be, but he's going to be a mauler at it, I'm pretty sure. But when you look at Isaiah Wynn, he can play tackle or guard, and he and people aren't really sure exactly where to put him. But when you want to look at his skill set, it's off the damn charts. It really is. And what I like about him going to New England is they're going to know how to use him. Just like they're going to know how to use their 31st overall pick, Sonny Michel, arguably the second best running back in this draft and a very clean prospect to evaluate. I think Michel and Chubb are both going to be good pros. I just think Michel is going to be the better one. To me, you know, getting Sonny Michel 31st overall, he is a guy that I can see in the conversation for NFL Offensive Rookie in the Year, and a guy that absolutely I think the Patriots are going to know how to get value out of. Then they took Duke Dawson, 56th overall, a cornerback from Florida. I believe he has a great upside as well. So when you look at what the Patriots did, is, you know, they got help in the secondary, which they needed. They got a running back who should have been drafted way earlier, and they got arguably maybe the second most skilled offensive lineman in the entire draft, and they're going to know how to use him. Good job, New England. You won this division. I put Miami in second place, so I say New England won. Miami comes in second. Third place would be the Bills, and then fourth place is going to be the Jets. That's how it played out for the AFC East. All right, next I'm going to be looking at the AFC North. So, the AFC North, let's look at the Baltimore Ravens first. The Baltimore Ravens' 25th overall draft pick was tight end Hayden Hurst. Here's why I like that pick. Number one, in terms of Hurst's ability and value, 25th overall made sense. They have a needed tight end, although Hurst is 25 years old. I've watched tape on pretty much all the tight ends that were drafted, and a lot of it, and Hurst is definitely the most NFL ready. I believe there's a big sleeper in this draft named Dalton Schultz, who got drafted by the Cowboys, but ultimately the most NFL ready and the best one is Hayden Hurst. They needed a tight end, and I don't care that he's 25 years old, because look, you play 4 years in the league, and then, you know, you get a new contract somewhere else, so I'm okay with that. I really liked the Lamar Jackson pick going 32nd overall. Here's why. Joe Flacco is not the answer for them. I think they're hanging on to him because they won a Super Bowl with him. And, you know, he's never been a bad NFL quarterback, but he's just not taking your team to the next level anymore. So I believe, you know, they definitely want to have a more dynamic offense. Getting Lamar Jackson does that. The reason why, and one of the things I also like about the Jackson pickup is that, look, Joe Flacco is going to be the starter next year. Lamar Jackson, you know, needs time to work on things. He's a guy that has great ability. He's raw, but I think, you know, as a pure passer, he's gonna continue to improve. Talk about this all the time. You know, the way he plays with a narrow base, that definitely jacks up, you know, his accuracy. Give him some time. You know, they have, you know, the coaches there in Baltimore, Frank Wright. I mean, that's, you know, he's got great coaches there that'll help him develop. So I like that pick over there. They drafted Orlando Brown, 83rd overall, which, to be honest, it's okay. You know, my problem with Orlando Brown is that, you know, I just think he's a big old guy that's A, not strong, and B, not that athletic. I mean, he only put up 14 reps at 225, and he's like 6'8" and 300 pounds. I just don't think, in terms of his skill set, he's really going to pan out at the next level, so I don't like that there. Getting Mark Andrews, 86th overall, that was okay, the tight end from Oklahoma. Again, I think, you know, he's going to be, you know, a second-string tight end to me. People are high on him, but I just don't see it. So I think the Ravens did a good job, you know, with round one, but then after that, you know, I wasn't so crazy about it. So I will say the Ravens did not screw it up. They did a decent job there, but some things could have gone better. Looking at the next team, the Cincinnati Bengals. Did the Bengals screw up the draft? Well, their first two picks, I believe, are home run picks. My only problem with what they did is they got Billy Price 21st overall, and I believe that James Daniels, Will Hernandez, and Isaiah Wynn are all better prospects than Billy Price. My personal opinion. So I think they could have gotten that interior lineman help at the end, you know, in the later rounds. So I'm going to say, yeah, you know, the Jesse Bates pick in the second round, that was great. I like Malik Jefferson going 78th overall. They did okay, but they could have done better. If it wasn't for that Jesse Bates pick, I would say they definitely screwed up the draft. So not that impressed with what Cincinnati did. They did okay, but not that impressed. Moving on to Cleveland, and yes, so Cincinnati, we'll say they didn't screw up the draft, but they didn't get it right either. So moving on to Cleveland, look at Cleveland's picks. Cleveland drafted Baker Mayfield first overall, Denzel Ward fourth, Nick Chubb 33rd, saying that fast. Austin Corbett 33rd, and Nick Chubb 35th. They did not screw up the draft, but again, they could have done a much better job. Let me just say this. The Browns are the first overall pick. They could have drafted Saquon Barkley first overall, and then a good chance Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, or Josh Rosen. I mean, a good chance Baker Mayfield is their fourth overall. Maybe the Jets take him. I get it. That's the signal caller that they wanted. But to me, you know, you could have built your roster a lot more and made your roster a lot more dynamic if you took Barkley first, because he's far and away a better player than any quarterback in this draft. And then your fourth overall pick, you take the best quarterback available at that time. I get it. Maybe Baker Mayfield was their guy. But if you want to just talk about making your roster better, that wasn't the way to do it. Even taking Denzel Ward fourth overall, who I think is going to be a great player. There's just so many other good cornerbacks that I think are going to have solid careers. Look, I think Mike Hughes is the best cornerback in the draft. He wasn't drafted until the end of the first round. So the Browns like the Nick Chubb pickup, but there were also running backs better than Nick Chubb available at that time. So the Browns, you know, I'm gonna say that they kind of screwed this one up a bit. You know, they did screw it up. I'm not to say they got bad players, but yeah, no, I mean, you know, you could have done a lot more to make your roster better than what they did. So yeah, Cleveland, I do like Baker Mayfield, but you know, you did screw this one up. Now, looking at the team after that, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm going to say their draft was absolutely atrocious. Terrell Edmonds, the safety, 28th overall, that is a big reach. And I'm not saying he's a reach because of where he's ranked, on anyone else's draft board. I'm saying it based on the fact that there are other safeties that I believe are better than him that were available at that point. They got James Washington, 60th overall. That was an okay pickup. I like Washington. And they got Mason Rudolph, 76th overall. And if you've heard me say it before, I do not think Mason Rudolph is going to be successful in the NFL. His system allowed him to be more accurate. But in the NFL, I don't think he's going to be able to make a lot of those throws. His ball sails a lot when he throws it. I don't think he's going to be a good quarterback in this league. And the Steelers, in my opinion, they screwed up this draft royally. They did very little, in my opinion, to improve their roster. And to me, you know, when I look at them, it was a bad draft for them. So who actually won this draft in the AFC North? Look, I don't think any of these teams did a great job. To be honest, this might be the weakest division in terms of how I think teams did in the draft. But, you know, if I'm going to give the nod to anyone, I'm going to say the Ravens did the best because they got a tight end who I thought was a good value at that point and a quarterback who I thought was a good value at that point to a team that really needs more of a playmaking quarterback. So I like what Baltimore did there. They to me won that. I would put the Bengals in second place. I would put the Browns in third place, and the Steelers are definitely in fourth place. They screwed this one up. So that is my analysis and who screwed up the draft in the AFC North. All right, looking at the AFC South, how did teams in that division draft? Who screwed it up? Who didn't? Let's start off by looking at the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans did not have a first overall pick. They got Justin Reed. Their first pick was the 68th pick overall, and they got safety Justin Reed out of Stanford. In my opinion, one of the 40 best players in the draft, a great value pick at that point. Look, his brother made a Pro Bowl, and I think Justin looks even better on tape. After that, number 80 overall, they got Martinez Rankin, the offensive tackle from Mississippi State. I believe that he probably should have been drafted a little bit earlier than he was. There are some other tackles that got drafted right around the same time that I think don't really have much of a chance of being successful at the NFL, Orlando Brown being one of them. But the Texans did get, you know, for the value there, they got a quality tackle there and a guy that I think, you know, should be able to play in the league. He'll need some coaching. But considering the Texans didn't have really high draft picks, the Texans got it right. But again, not a first round pick, so not as much to look at there. But for you know, the top picks they had, you know, I think they did a good job there. Now, looking at the Indianapolis Colts. Did the Colts screw up the draft? They got their first round pick right. They got, to me, one of the best picks of the first round. I just feel their second round picks, Darius Leonard and Braden Smith, there were better players available that they could have drafted at that time. I think Braden Smith will be a good pro. He's shown me enough that I think he can have a good career at the next level. Darius Leonard, it's going to take him, a little bit of time. He's certainly, in my opinion, not NFL ready compared to some of these other linebackers. But they did get three players there that do have a chance of succeeding in the league. Nelson's a home run pick. I'll say the Colts did good, but they could have done better. But I'm not going to say they screwed it up. So that's kind of my evaluation on them. Looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars, they selected Taven Bryan, the defensive tackle from Florida, 29th overall. He is one of those players that if he reaches his potential, teams will look back in a few years from now and say, why was this guy not a top 10 pick? When you want to look at pass rush upside from the defensive tackle position, absolutely. This guy I think is going to be tremendous at that. My issues with Bryan is that he's raw. Plays with a very high center of gravity, and he's not stout against the run game like some of these other defensive tackles are. One of the reasons that Daron Payne got drafted so early is in terms of against the run, you're not going to have any issues there. Taven Bryan has a great upside. I like that pick. I thought that was a good value pick there. DJ Chark going 61st overall. I think that was decent. I'm not as high on him as some other people are, but getting Ronnie Harrison 93rd overall, that's a huge steal to me. So I'm going to say the Jacksonville Jaguars, they got this draft right. They got a defensive tackle at the end of the first round who has some of the best pass rush upside of any defensive tackle in this draft. You got a wide receiver that can turn into a number two, maybe number three wide receiver at the next level. Certainly not a number one, in my opinion. I don't think there's any chance of that. It's going to take him some time. And then you got Ronnie Harrison, the other safety from Alabama, 93rd overall. Are you kidding me? To me, that is a huge draft steal there. Look, the Jaguars have been on the rise for a few years now. That's why they're in the AFC Championship. Look at what they've done in free agency and look how well they've drafted. Every year, I'm always saying these guys do a good job. They did a good job again in this one. Moving on to the Tennessee Titans. So far we've talked about the Texans. We've talked about the Colts, the Jaguars. Now, finally, ending things with the Titans. The Tennessee Titans, to me, did a great, great job in this draft. Great job. And I'm going to say they did a better job than anyone else in the division. Here's why. They got Rashawn Evans, the linebacker, 22nd overall. A guy that is a jackknife-type linebacker that you can line up in a lot of different spots. Has great upside against the pass rush and against the run. A guy that you can plug in right away from Alabama. He can instantly improve your defense. Harold Landry, number 40, the 41st overall selection. Big draft steal there because Harold Landry, injury problems, I believe, is what held him back from being drafted higher. And then they got Luke Falk, the quarterback from Washington State, 199th overall. And I believe Luke Falk is one of the 50 best prospects in this draft. When I compare Luke Falk and Kyle Aletta got drafted earlier to the Giants. As a Giants fan, I would have much rather see them get Luke Falk, in my opinion. That to me is a great steal getting Luke Falk there. Marcus Mariota, the kind of style he plays, there's a good chance he'll get injured. Luke Falk, although he doesn't have the upside of some of these quarterbacks, he's pretty NFL ready when you go back and watch the game tape. So the Tennessee Titans did a great job there. I think, in terms of the AFC South, I would put the Titans first. Second after that, let's go back here and take a look at that. Second after the Titans, I'm going to put the Texans because the Texans didn't have much to work with and still got good value. Third place, I'm going to put the Jaguars, And then fourth place, I am going to put the Indianapolis Colts. I think really all the teams, you know, the AFC South overall, none of these teams screwed up the draft. You know, it's, you know, when you go back, you know, again, just looking at this, the Titans got two linebackers. They can start right away. They got to me a guy that can has the potential to be an NFL starting or second string or starting quarterback at 199th overall. The Jaguars got players with great upside. They got a terrific safety, 93rd overall. The Colts addressed some holes, although I think they could have, you know, gotten some better players in their second round picks. And the Texans just not working with much, you know, did well there. So, I mean, I definitely like how the AFC South drafted, but I got to give the edge, you know, to Tennessee overall. All right, looking at the AFC West. So let's look at how these teams did, starting off with the Oakland Raiders. I believe the Oakland Raiders went way too boom or bust on this draft. And this is a typical, you know, this is a typical 2005 to 2010 Raiders draft where they get players that have high upside, but you know they overall, you know, they're overall taking some big gambles there. Let's look at their 15th overall pick, Colton Miller. He's a huge monster, but you know, in terms of his feet and his overall movement, and you know, just looking at his tape overall, there's better offensive tackles they could have gotten at that point. I know that's the consensus thought, but to me that is the true thought. Connor Williams, who got drafted in the second round, I think is a far better tackle than Colton Miller. Colton Miller has great upside, so I get it. You want to protect Derek Carr, but you need someone that can protect him now. I'm not sure if Miller's the guy that can do that right away. PJ Hall, again, I thought it was a reach. Arden Key was a reach. Where they really struck gold the most, I believe, is they drafted Maurice Hurst, 140th overall. Maurice Hurst is one of the 15 best players in the draft, in my opinion. And they got him 140th overall because of a heart condition. They got a great player there, but I'm going to say overall, they really screwed this draft up. Oakland Raiders, you did not do a good job overall. You got Maurice Hurst, but, you know, this to me, this draft is not going to do a lot to help them in the future. Now, looking at the Los Angeles Chargers, you know, I'm a bit indifferent in terms of their day two and day three players. Admittedly, some of those guys I have not watched as much tape on, but when I look at their day one pick, I'm just going to go by that. They got the best defensive player, in my opinion, in the entire draft, safety Derwin James from Florida State. Versatile. You want a guy that can play strong safety, free safety, a guy that I watched chase down Lamar Jackson in a live game. Derwin James can play every position in the secondary, and he has the versatility to play a couple different positions at linebacker. When I look at James, the tape is incredibly clean, so I like what they did there. I'm going to say the Chargers, you know, they did a good job. I just, you know, from what I can see here, you know, I just see some other players that were available, you know, in the second round of the draft that I think based on their needs, they probably should have looked at there. But again, you know, I just think they did a home run job there in terms of getting Derwin James. Now, looking at Kansas City, the Chiefs did a good job. They didn't have any first round picks. But Breland Speaks, number 46 overall. I think he fits their system. I think Speaks, you know, has a chance of being a good NFL player. But look, they didn't have a lot of high draft picks, so it's really hard to say exactly, you know, how these players will pan out because most of their draft picks they were picking 100th and overall and back. Now, when I look at the Denver Broncos. To me, I look at a team that did very good. The Denver Broncos drafted Bradley Chubb 5th overall. To me, that made sense because Bradley Chubb is NFL ready. He's a can't-miss prospect. And when you pair Chubb with Von Miller, it's going to allow their defense to return to the level, or at least have a chance of returning to the level of what it was at before. Cortland Sutton has arguably the best body control of any wide receiver I've watched in this draft. He has great body control. His ability to adjust to non-accurate throws is ridiculous. I think part of the reason that he is not getting that he's not getting looked at as much is because he didn't really play with a quarterback that, you know, was very good. But when you look at Sutton play, there's a lot of upside there. I think he's someone who still is going to be a project. We'll have to continue to work to get better. But when you want to look at some natural things, he's definitely got a lot to like there. They took Royce Freeman, 71st overall. A good value pick there at running back. They need it. I don't think Freeman is one of the five best running backs in the draft, but I have watched Freeman, and I do think when you look at him 71st overall, that pick does make sense there. I'm going to say the Broncos really, really won this division. The Broncos drafted Bradley Chubb. Now they can pair him with Von Miller, because to get your defense back to the level it was at, you need to replace DeMarcus Ware, which they've never had. They have Shane Ray, but now you add Bradley Chubb to that mix. Now they have a pass rush again that can get them into the AFC Championship. So they did a huge job there. Their receiving core is getting older. They got Cortland Sutton, who, again, has great body control, a tremendous upside, and a guy that I think will continue to get better. And you got good value for a running back with Royce Freeman at 71st overall. When I look at this division, I'm going to say that the Denver Broncos won the AFC West, and they drafted the best. All right, guys, that wraps things up for today. On the next episode, I'm going to tell you, did your team screw up the NFL draft? But I'll be focusing on the NFC. Until next time.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.